2-3-1.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Don't be hating on my household attire, okay? I don't go to Walmart like this.
Bingo! Girl time!
We're making it for young kitchen. Sushi.
It's a little thing, Tech Show, and that's fact. If you don't like the gas, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies, that'll only get bad. With a strong wind, go direct to DLTS.org. And I see channels of Linux, Tech.net, Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, go together, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 973 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Enjoying the fall weather.
We have Joel.
Good evening.
And we have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
And the audio was just slightly better. Still working on that. I think I need to get a new audio device or something. I don't know.
Maybe.
Pain in my ass.
Munching on some fresh Chex Mix, man.
Some what?
Chex Mix.
Oh, you made some?
Time of year.
Yes, sir. You smoke it?
No, I didn't this time. I should this weekend. Yes, I should.
Well, I don't know if you want to do it this weekend. Aren't you going to get some of that storm?
No.
Not at all?
Not Ohio.
Well, it reaches pretty far. I figure it might bring some rain your way. No?
Yeah, it's gonna. There's a trough that's catching it. It's gonna take it back out to sea. I think.
Oh wait, which I know it's. It's like looks like it's supposed to go right over my mother-in-law's house, and in the western side of South Carolina, which is, it's gonna be a storm by then. Oh no. I guess it changed now.
Yep. Just going to be cloudy on Saturday and partly sunny on Sunday. Actually, I don't know. This is goofy. It says cloudy Saturday. Then it says mostly cloudy, but then there's a little bit of a circle of a sun on the icon. This is in Google's thing. Anyway, it's going to be in the 60s, so it'll be nice and comfy out there.
Oh, that sucks. It's going to blow right past. I thought it was going to go up into the states, but it's going to follow the coast up. That's going to hit me. That's not
probably. I'm going to get a blowtorch, though, so that I can set the one of the things with the pit boss is that when you're at the only temperature you can smoke at where the grill produces the smoke is like right around 180, which depending on what you're cooking, that could be too low or too high depending on what you're trying to smoke. So if you're trying to smoke some cheese or something, that's too high. So, well, that's actually you'd probably be fine with cheese now I'm thinking about it. But, you may not get as much smoke as you want. So you fill a smoke tube up, and then you light that with the blowtorch and then blow the flame out, and then it'll just start smoking like crazy and fill that thing full of smoke. So I have smoked Chex Mix. It does work, and it is tasty. I have smoked cream cheese, which is also tasty when you smoke it. I want to try to smoke something like cheddar or something like that and see how that comes out. I probably should get some like bigger hunks, like get one, smoke it, stick it in the fridge, or smoke two, eat one, and keep the other one in the fridge for the holidays or something like that. But, and we did get a deep freezer that's sticking in the garage right now, all set up too, because Those French store freezers aren't very big, to be honest. I also want to actually, I don't know how well it would work, but I'm wondering what smoked cinnamon rolls would taste like. That probably would be pretty tasty, I would think.
I don't know. Maybe. I'm kind of skeptical about that.
It's worth trying. If it
bacon
sucks, you
cinnamon
know.
Rolls?
I have done that before. The cheater version of that, you know, where you unroll the Pillsbury ones.
Yeah, we've done that.
Yeah. I also want to try the over-the-top chili, where basically you put a pot in there with, like, the tomatoes, tomato sauce, stuff like that in there. And then, like, the onions and the garlic and the meat, you basically make a big meatball, and you put the pot underneath that, and the meat juices will drip into the pot while it smokes that meatball, and then when it's done, you just drop that into the pot and break up the meat. That might be tasty. I don't know. But did something like that, I would probably go for instead of like normal, it's my normal, like if I'm just making chili during the week, just, you know, for dinner or something, I'll buy the Carol Shelby's pre-mixed spices. But something like that, I would probably get a recipe and do, you know, make it all from scratch. You know, put some chili powder and get some jalapenos and stuff, and or serranos, and chop that up and put into the pot. Maybe that's might be what I do on the chili cook-off maybe this year, if we do it again. We did it last year, and I think mine was too hot for the church people. I made Dr. Pepper chili. It came out pretty good. Nope, but this weekend, just like every other week, in the last few, I've been hammering my AWS studying. Chapters I've gone through this week was data migration and scaling. The scaling one was cool because you set up some web servers to scale out. It's either web servers or SQS. I can't remember. But what would happen? Oh, it was that we were using SQS. We were using an SQS instance, and based on how many messages were in the queue, whenever they went over 500, it would spawn another instance in AWS. And then you would let it cool. There's a built-in cooldown before it would do the next scaling event, and then would scale up as the number of messages in the queue would go. Probably not. Well, how you auto-scale is going to depend on what your end goal is. You know, you could scale based on memory, you know, so you can do a vertical scale or horizontal by just adding instances. But it was pretty interesting. The data migration one I thought was pretty cool because basically you would load a MySQL backup into an S3 bucket and then use a database migration service to move it into Dynamo or Aurora DB, which is basically Postgres. So, which that might be something we're going to do. There's talk about migrating managed cloud from SQL to Postgres. So we'll have to have R&D's help with that one. Our SaaS team already does that. So.
Your sassy team?
Yeah. The big goal for the company is they want to push more people to SaaS, which I don't know how popular that's going to be, you know, but we'll see. They ain't running.
You know who uses SaaS? The pharmaceutical companies are really big into
that. Yeah. A lot of people, more people use SaaS than you really think.
Data mining, ad hoc reporting, that type of stuff.
Yeah. Well, there's also other ERPs like Workday. If you use Workday for HR, that is also a SaaS product. So, and that's where my old school's going. The school I used to work at, they're going to go to Workday. So that will be interesting for them. But so far, though, I'm digging the AWS stuff. You know, it's just tying it all together. You know, most of the exam prep is basically leading you through the AWS console. Some of it's with the command line tools that AWS gives you. But in our case, we're using think tools like you can use Lambda for serverless code execution. So you can write, like, if you have a script that does things in Python, you can pop that script into Lambda and then run that without having a server to do things. So you can use that, for example, to spin up instances with code instead of using the AWS tools to build your instance from an AMI. But
does Lambda only do Python?
No, it'll do other things too. I actually need to study more on Lambda because we do use it a lot. There's also part of it that talked about Elastic Expand, or I forget, but basically Hadoop on the AWS platform.
Hadoopa dupa. Yeah, they're just going crazy these days with all this stuff, aren't they? They'll run anything for you. Messaging services, databases, search engines.
One lab I didn't do because I don't know if we'll ever use it. But the lab was you dump in English like a recording of somebody saying something into an S3 bucket. And then you would use, try to remember what they use, but basically you would pipe that into their AI and it would convert that to text. Then it would take the text and pipe it into some, a service called Poppy, which basically would translate it from English to Spanish. And then you would output that to an MP3 file that had the Spanish in it. You know, I didn't know if I'd ever do it again, so I just watched the recording. I might go back and revisit that one because it's kind of cool. Because it used the AWS AI engine to do the things.
That's some pretty neat stuff.
Yeah, you know, I haven't done much interesting lately. Mostly I've been boring. I did get a 12 terabyte hard drive and got that hooked up and been shuffling data off of other hard drives onto that one.
That sounds
getting my garage fun. Organized. Or, well, cleaner anyway.
Yep, so that when the temperature is not so stupid insane. Which is probably fine in there now.
Yeah, it's not bad in here now.
But,
and then yesterday we had a nice fun outage at work.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I ended up on one phone call for 14 hours.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
14 hours?
14 hours.
14 hours? Did you get it fixed?
Yeah. Yeah, but
how much of that 14 hours was trying to figure out what the hell was going on?
Oh, most of it really. Yeah, most of it really. I mean, it should have been an easy fix right from the beginning. Now, not from my end. I didn't have enough of the information. I was basically like running the call, making sure things got moved forward, et cetera, et cetera. But there was a change in how the server was set up, and I'm trying to do this without, you know, breaking my NDA. But there was a change in how the server was set up over the weekend, and the problem started over the weekend, and nobody wanted to say, hey, let's revert this change. Until, like, you know, 13 and a half hours in. And then magically everything starts working. But we tried everything else.
Yeah, it's like one of my clients, and this is one of the big projects we're working on. In fact, I need to probably spend some time with it tomorrow, or Friday, one of the two, depends on what else is going on. Our clients, especially the Windows ones, have a lot of servers that are on their domain, not our domain. Okay. So we're engineering a thing called the resource domain. We have engineered it. So we're going to be moving all of our clients to that, so that when things like what happened to my buddy on his last day of his on-call shift Sunday, where he was on a call just like about as long as you, where the client made changes to their domain controllers and all of a sudden they couldn't log in.
Well, gosh, like, I wonder what the problem was.
Duh. Yeah, so at least it wasn't our fault, so that's one thing. But we're going to try and isolate ourselves from that and where at least...
Well, we know who got blamed.
Yeah. Not us, the client, but... But at least in our case, like in the future, that's going to be less of an issue. At least the servers will be up and running. They still may not be able to log in, though. But it doesn't break it to the point where we can't log in. Which sucks when it happens.
So, Joe, the problem was the configuration of the server and not a change in the application?
No, it was a hardware change.
Oh.
Essentially, this particular set of servers, it's multiple servers in multiple locations, had two servers in one location, and it's always had two servers in one location, and for some reason they brought one of them down, and this somehow, instead of doubling the usage on the one server that was left, it quadrupled it to the point where connections weren't being made and the latency was so high that nothing was getting done. Everything was failing. There was some massive amount of reads and writes going on this server, or what seemed a massive amount of reads and writes going on that server that was preventing anything else from actually happening. Now, we did try dropping the jobs that were doing the reads and writes. That helped for a short period of time. We tried restarting. That helped for a short period of time. But once everything picked back up and started reconnecting to the server, nothing worked. And so the answer was, bring back up the second server. No, I don't know why they originally took down the server. Because that is another team entirely.
Why not, right?
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, wow. I mean, how long did it take for that problem to present itself once they made that change?
Well, considering they made the change on Friday and I didn't notice the problem until Monday because I didn't work the weekend, but I noticed it on Monday with jobs from Friday, which should have been handled over the weekend. But yeah, I would assume right away.
How is it? But did they just ignore the problem over the weekend?
There's a lot of that that happens.
Yeah, I shouldn't ask pointed questions like that, because that borders on getting you putting you in a situation where you have to throw something under the bus. And I you'd think, like,
but there is a major disconnect between the teams that were doing the hardware stuff and my side of things of the teams doing the software stuff, application level stuff. So, yeah, it took a little while to get past that disconnect.
Are you guys siloed? Like,
very.
So, based upon what you're saying, it almost sounds like on the software end of things, you're not really privy to what it's running on. You just kind of get, like, metrics and maybe logs.
In a lot
logs.
Of instances. Yes.
And so you're looking at this thing and you're like, what the hell's going on? And you don't know that you
made
once
a change
had two
somewhere
servers,
upstream.
Now
yeah.
You have one server.
That is correct. They did not inform us whatsoever.
Oh, man. So basically, to you, all you see is, like, your utilization is skyrocketing. Latency
correct.
Is skyrocketing.
And you're like... We saw that the... what I saw immediately was the latency skyrocketing, because that affects the jobs that I handle.
Right.
And then I have an associate that does a bit more with utilization on my team. So he goes in and he looks and he sees that the CPU usage was previously averaging 25%, and it's now maxed out at 100% all the time.
And you're like, what did these developers do this time?
Right, but this time it wasn't the developers. I can't blame the developers on this one.
It was DevOps.
It was the hardware guys.
I'm like, how is it they didn't report that change up the line?
Up the line, yes. Down the line?
Oh, down the line. Wait, aren't you up the line? You're down the line?
I don't know if it would be considered across the line.
He's the middle of the line.
Like, the hardware guys that were just separated.
There you go.
They're over there, I'm over here. Sometimes they whip out their tech penis and it just smacks us in the forehead from 100 miles away.
Don't you love it when that happens?
14 hours.
14 hours. Well, actually, it was 15 hours because it was from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m.
Now, we did have that other hurricane hit one of my clients. We have at least one or two Latin America clients, and one of them was on guess which island? Puerto Rico, and they had no power last week. So they had a generator back up. They weren't damaged, but they turned the generator off so that they could save some fuel.
Me whining and griping more about, yesterday. Yeah, I had told my team across the pond that took over everything after I was leaving that the very specific things they needed to do for a bunch of T-3 jobs. So jobs from three business days ago. Once everything was up and running, exactly what you need to do. You need to force start these jobs, make sure all the parent jobs are done, and then move on to the next one, because none of them are going to start because they're all past their fails after time. So they need to be run manually.
Mm-hmm.
And what do I see at, in messages from 5 a.m. on jobs that should have been done, but messages from the developer to the support team, chewing them out for not doing exactly what I told them. It annoys me.
I just saw something kind of shocking. Coolio died.
Did he?
Really?
Yep.
No, no.
Found passed out, but he was only 59, man.
What'd he die of?
It says cardiac arrest.
Hope he's melted coke will make your heart stop. Coke.
Probably. That's what I would think.
Cracking coke.
Mixed with a probably good dose of Mary Jane, too, probably.
Well, that'll bring your heart rate down.
Yeah, I don't think it was the weed that did it. It was it's that coke there.
It's everything else.
We are in making a heck of an assumption it. There. It might not be drugs. Truth. It might be cheeseburgers.
But if you're playing the probability, I think probability is your side.
Yeah. I remember how popular he was in the 90s.
How cool he was? How cool was Coolio?
He's very Coolio. No,
I don't know. Did he have a drug problem?
I have no idea.
I don't think either. He did.
I don't know either. Yeah, it sucks. That's a shame.
Well, you know, if it had been me, I would have assumed he got shot, but...
Well, that can cause cardiac arrest.
Depending he died because his bullet heart does, stopped. Yeah, right. Yeah.
Dies at 59.
Yeah, the first article just said cardiac arrest, so I assume they're probably going to do an autopsy, so we'll see what's in his system then.
Well, could have just been bad genetics, too.
Truth.
Ay, ay, ay.
Truth.
So, I was sitting at my desk the other day. Yes, no, was it yesterday? No, it was... Yes, it was Tuesday. Monday night. And I got a message from a coworker who said they used my script and it worked very well, but to set up their local VIP, and it worked perfectly, except that when he went to log in locally, it came up with an error message that there were no sites configured for the user. And I was aware of that problem. And I put it in our run book and said that if you refresh the page, it'll make that problem go away. Because I'm pretty sure it's a caching issue. It's caching old data in your browser and something's getting mixed up, right? And it should fix it. Otherwise, you can go into an incognito mode, log in that way, and that's another way to fix it. Anyway, he thought the way to fix it was to have it kick off the Chrome job in WordPress to update the site's configuration. So he put that documentation in the run book, and I was like, all right, that's something we could do. I didn't really think it was going to solve the problem, but I figured I'd incorporate it into my scripts because it's pretty easy. It's just running a command through SSH, right? And that's simple enough to script. So I put it in there, and then I ran it, my script, and right at the end of the provisioning, threw an error. Like, I wasn't even at the point of testing this new edition. This was just setting up Vagrant. And it threw an error, and it's like it said command not found, but it finished. So I'm like, okay, that's weird. So I made sure everything was stopped, everything was going, you know, making sure there was no other Vagrant instance running, that could cause a conflict, did all this stuff, ran it again, same problem. So it was getting kind of late that night, and I was like, well, I'm just going to see about it tomorrow. So I spent all day yesterday, most of the morning, testing this out, trying to figure out, putting in debugging and stuff like that, because it was really, really weird. It got to the last part of the provisioning, the custom site, and it was throwing it. The log. Do you want something?
No, I love you.
Oh, I love you too. this is my daughter's down here. Anyway, what was happening? It was clear as day. The error message made it was basically saying this command. It was called VVV. Restore PHP default, command not found, right? So when I dug into this, it's in there. It never threw this error before. It's in there. I log in SSH into the Vagrant machine, and it's in the path. And it's located under SRV, config, home bin, and it's in there. And I can run it, and it runs fine. And so I started doing all this debugging, putting stuff in the script before it, after it, in there, just to see where is it failing? What is the exact command it's failing on? And it gets to that point where it's going to run that command, and then it throws that error message, right? And then it runs the command. Because all the stuff that I put in the actual script shows up in the log after it throws that error message. So I'm like, what the hell? How could it be telling me it can't find the command, but yet it's running it, right? It can't find the script, but yet it's running it. And I'm going through this thing. And it became one of those things where you look at it too long and you're digging into just that one part for so long that you miss one of the most obvious things. So I went over to the repository for VVV, and I started looking at what the latest changes were. Sure enough, the day before they merged in the code that had a better way to define what version of PHP you're going to use for that site. For that site, you could define it instead of having to set install via the extension and have it the Nginx engine set and all that. You just tell, PHP version this, right? And I started playing around with that for a bit, and it didn't make a difference. And I'm reading through this, and then I look at the PR, and I go all the way down. I start reading through the messages on the PR and people reviewing it and stuff, and I'm seeing that other people are reporting this problem in the PR. When it merged, they never fixed that problem. So I'm reading through it, and I look all the way down to the bottom, and they have the test cases down there. And one of them was the CI test case, and that failed. That was the only test out of four tests that failed. And I open up that output of that test, and it has the exact same error message that I have in there. So I know exactly what's causing, why this is what the problem is now. They introduced something and they just merged it without fixing the error, and I had no idea why. And I pointed this out to another colleague of mine, and we were looking at it, and he's like, yeah, I mean, and then we noticed where it was being called in another script. So what was happening, and this explains why I was missing the original problem, is that there's two functions that run, provisioner begin and provisioner end. And the provisioner begin calls this other script that at the end of the script runs that VVV restore PHP default, right? And then once that finishes, that's in the provisioner end script runs function runs, and it checks to see if there's an error. And if there's an error, it reports the error message, right? So the error message that you see when you run the provisioner says one thing, but if you look in the logs, it has more information and it tells you that that command failed. Once it reports that failure message, that's in an if statement, the next thing it runs is that VVV restore PHP default script. But in this case, it has the full path to the script, right? So that's why when I was debugging the script and looking at it from the one script that it was running, it was failing because they weren't supplying the full path. And it was actually running because it was being called again a second time right after that ran. So it's kind of runs it back to back. I'm still not quite sure why they had to do. I think the reasoning behind it, because I asked and I posted a bug on this, and I asked them, you know, here's the problem. Why are you running the same thing back to back? Because I didn't dig way into it, but my assumption is I'm using this for a single custom site, right? And you can define multiple sites in this thing, as many as you want. So my assumption is that it's going to obviously loop through all the sites. So it apparently, it runs the provisioner begin, and then it goes, I'm assuming it must go through all the sites. And then when it's finished all the custom sites, it runs provisioner end. Otherwise, the other way it would be doing it is for each site, it runs begin and end afterwards. So I'm not clear which way it goes. I didn't dig too deep into that. Maybe I should, just to satisfy my curiosity. But the only way, reason it seems to make sense that they would run this back to back like that is when I asked him, he says, because some, you know, you could have multiple sites and then it sets it to a different version of PHP, but you want to set it back before it goes on to the next one or whatever. I guess that's it. I don't know. So that would just make my assumption that it's running through the sites before it does provision or end. But I don't know. Anyway, that's what it was. Sure enough, I was like, I can easily fix this in my scripts because I could just edit that file. You know, I can look and see whether that problematic line is in there. If it doesn't provide the full path, and if not, I'll put the full path in there with a sed command. Really simple to do. And that way, if they do fix it on down the line and it comes back to us, it's going to find that it has the full path in there and not bother editing it. And then right after I fixed all my scripts, I got the response on the bug. And the guy's like, hey, if you have time, do you think you could do a PR to fix it? So I did a PR to fix it, and they merged it in like right away. So it kind of made my fix on my stuff obsolete. But there we go. I was really happy that they responded, because sometimes you don't get a response for weeks on some of the repos, like when you post a problem. So kudos to them for that. We got that fixed, but that was a fun time, Joel. Fun time digging into that. It helps when you know. And so, you know, I obviously, like, I tried a bunch of the low-hanging fruit stuff, and it kept, and I was like, there's got to be something obvious I'm missing, because I'm not really changing anything, and it's still causing the same problem.
Yeah, but at least one thing that was probably good for you in your case is the servers you were running that ran your PR probably were generated by you and weren't badly maintained for a few years.
Servers running PR, GitHub runs those PRs. When you merge in a PR,
yep.
GitHub. When you do all that, it's all running on GitHub. GitHub actions. And stuff like that. Yeah. But no, this is all the stuff being running internally. You know, and I will say another thing, because I've been doing a lot with setting up policies for alerts and stuff like that, and going through for certain functions that we're working with and other applications. I had a lot of a lot of issues this past couple of days where people needed to get information, and you know, being able to use our logging tools allows you to really get in there and get what they need right away. And having used a bunch of different tools, I will say I've come to really appreciate tools like Sumo Logic and Datadog and New Relic, because they put a lot of thought into their tool set and had been able to refine it over many years, that it allows you to whatever like query language that they provide to you. I don't remember what Datadog's called. Like New Relic has New Relic query language, and Sumo Logic has Sumo Logic's query language, and you could do a lot of great stuff and parsing of different things and getting different fields, and that's all great. Because we've kind of moved away from, we're trying to move away from Sumo Logic and New Relic. They want to just go straight with Google. And Google's tools are just, they're not at that level of Datadog or Sumo Logic or New Relic. Like, yeah, it's a little painful
to be able to do that. They're more generalized, less nuanced.
Yeah, like when so you can, the problem that I see with like the Google stuff, right, is you have to invest a lot of time and effort, and not only like you, there's the Google Logger, right, and you're gonna get the basics from Google Logger, which you, there's no way that you could do in Google Logger what you could do in Sumo Logic. If you want to do those kind of things, that kind of query and analyzing and stuff like that, you have to send it to another product that they have, like BigQuery, I think is what it's called, right, which will allow you to start doing some of that stuff. So it's like there's a lot of stuff you have to do on your end to bring all that together. Whereas if you just go with something like Datadog or whatever, there's an agent you run. They slurp all that information in for you. And, you know, what they give you just like right out of the box is a world of difference and elegance and ease compared to the other stuff. I'm not sure. I'm sure Amazon has a lot of those tools. I'm not sure. I don't remember. I don't know where they're at with those.
CloudTrail and
do they do a really good job of being on par with? Obviously, probably not, because you're using Datadog.
No,
right?
We're using Datadog. Yeah.
So if you want to do the same thing, you can do. I know, like you could do the same. You just got to like build it yourself.
Right. Well, you see, the thing is, our application isn't really a cloud-aware application. It's more like a lift and shift, the way things are now. So Datadog gives us the ability to run synthetic tests that we can generate a synthetic test to make sure that the application's working as it should be. You know, we can have it skulk our product logs. And AWS just isn't, you know, the logs for these are just sitting on the EBS volumes that are attached to the instance, the EC2 instance. So that stuff isn't, you know, it's basically a hard drive. And that's the other thing too. Now S3, you know, a lot of people just think of it, a lot of people will call it, well, it's an S3 bucket. The S3 is basically more than just that. It definitely, you can just store pretty much any kind of file in it, but it's an object store. So it can store any object in there as well. And you can use it, like if you have something, like you can have, that's kind of some of the things that we're trying to do with our thing. So we want to build it such that our clients don't need to have access to RDP for non-prod things. they don't have it for prod things, but so for example, one of the things we're gonna start to do is make it such that if they want to customize their self-service, they can drop, you know, I'm not saying we're doing this, but the idea is you could drop something into the S3 bucket. S3 can look at that folder in the bucket and says, oh, hey, they put new code in there. Then I can suck that code up and put it in place automatically. You know, things like that, at least for the non-prods. So, not sure. There's other things we're doing with that, too. So,
yeah, we do something similar to that that they started doing where we have a Google storage bucket and it has configuration files in it. So if something gets updated in that bucket, it triggers a function that processes those files and finds what's changed and makes the change. So, and one of the ways that we could also do that is just if you hit, you don't even have to write to the file. You just have to update some metadata and it will process changes. It will process the files again and do stuff. So
it's
pretty interesting stuff that it keeps a lookout for that.
Yep. Yep. That's like some of the example that we're doing in test. Since in our case too, what makes it more complicated is we're not just directly working in the console. We're using all sorts of other programmatic tools that tie into that that uses AWS's API. So some of that is, via a Python, either via a Lambda function or something else. So, and then the other thing too is AWS is just one of this big, massive, wide thing. It's probably wider than Google's own cloud stuff. They're probably the leader in amount of other stuff that it has that.
What do you mean by wider? What do you mean by wider?
Well, like you can do pretty much anything. You have AI things. You got you can run Windows. You can run serverless architecture, microservices, all this stuff. You know, so it's just figuring out where your application can fit or how you can change your application to make it work.
See, what I would say to you, Joel, casting your aspirations and pissing on Google Cloud like you are over there. Google products and services.
Not pissing on it, but
I would agree with you. I think Amazon is the leader, and I do believe that's still the case. And they have, I would say, I'm not sure they have more services than Google, but I would say that their services are more robust at this point and more.
More mature.
Yeah, more mature. That's the word I'm looking for. Yes, a little more mature. I think that Google has probably been pretty good on keeping on par, but most of their stuff is not as mature. Hell, I don't even think any of their stuff has made it out of beta yet.
Technically not, right?
Yeah, everything is beta at Google. Well, pretty much, I think.
But that way, when it goes wrong, they can say, well, it isn't beta.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, it's like the other day I was talking about when at Google I.O., they used to give you a lot of hardware. And it's like, man, why can't I kind of gotten interested in this stuff sooner? I think when Deviates, I think, went to Google I.O. one time and got some free stuff. I don't remember.
Don't you have to pay a pretty penny to get in there for that?
That's, yeah, probably. I don't know.
I was back in the good old days where they were just pissing money away.
Well, then you got Amazon they do their Invent presentations. In fact, after I finished doing through the course, some of the studying I may do is view some of the videos from the Invent conference. And one of these days I actually need to spend some time with that. But that's like today in one of our calls I said this is – I really have to start concentrating on some of this training stuff and dropping what I'm doing just to help somebody else out, if you know what I mean. You know, because I need to learn this stuff more better than I do today. So, because I want to be still be relevant, you know, in 2-3 years. You know, I got 15 more years of till I'm 65. Actually, no, 14 more years, and I don't want to have to try and reinvent myself for the last part of my career.
Well, you just got to make it past 59, and then you got Coolio.
Yeah.
Just got to hit those lotto numbers, and then you can retire whenever.
Well, this is true. But yeah, Rich, our good friend Rich is in the middle of that hurricane as well. Not too bad because he's on the right coast of it. So, but he did post a video where it was pretty much just rain, I think, is what he posted a video of earlier today. And I have coworkers that were had pretty much wind and rain at this point. Nothing, no thunderstorms or anything like that. But I know at least one person I used to work with in professional services is in the Tampa area. So we need to think about those people there in that area, because it's getting pretty hammered, pretty bad. It's still a major hurricane, and it's been inland for a while right now.
How's North Florida looking? I haven't checked.
Probably not near as bad. And you look at the weather radar. This is one of those storms where you can't just pick one radar to go to, because you don't get the whole picture. Yeah, it looks like it is weakening a bit, because the eye did fill in on the radar. So, but still a pretty dangerous storm at this point. I'm glad I only get the rain out of these, and not even every time.
So, Door to Door Geek said that the Fightatab Duo, have you heard of that thing?
Fightatab Duo, no.
It's supposed to be like the Jide Remix tablet, but from a different company. And he's right, it does look like it.
I am not going to get suckered in again.
Yeah, no, right? I'm like, whoa, look at this thing. I wonder what it runs. Do they have a website instead of a... Okay, here we go. Wow, where is this damn thing?
I'd like to see it, but...
Okay, I will put it in the... I will put it in the oh god, I hate it when, don't you hate it when the video doesn't stop?
Yes.
Like, I don't even know where the video is anymore, because I'm on a website. Oh, there we go. No. God, I hate that. All right. It's fydetabduo.com.
Interesting.
Fydetabduo.
The Pine folks brought out the Pine Note. I don't know. Let's see. How much does it cost? Let me hit the order button. The Pine Note is essentially a e-ink tablet, and it comes with a stylus for writing. See, and it's in stock. It is $399. Not so sure about that either. FidoS. It does look sharp.
See, you know what throws up a red flag to me?
I can tell you the rock chip throws up a red flag for me.
Why does it throw up a white red flag for you?
Well, it just depends on how long, you know, what kind of support is that chip going to have through multiple OS versions, and will you even get multiple OS versions?
See, this is that one thing that throws up a red flag to me is that it's running FidoS, their own operating system, right? That always worries me. But they do say under the operating systems, optionally compatible with other open source operating systems, including popular Linux distributions and Android open source project builds. So,
okay,
that says to me, you know, maybe it. I believe it's a Linux based operating system
or Android based modified.
Yeah, it could be. It could be that too. They don't really specify. It looks just like the Jive.
What I would suggest, that's what I would suggest it probably is, because on down the page it says thousands of apps at your fingertips. Well, who's going to have thousands of applications? Android will.
Linux does too. Sure.
Well, true.
And Linux has a lot more games than Android.
Yeah.
Well, let me rephrase that.
Games that generally don't suck either.
Linux has a lot. My assumption is that when they talk about the gaming on here, they're probably talking about being able to get Steam OS on here, I would venture to guess. So there's
more
that.
Steam client, right?
So I don't.
It's like one of the things I really like the idea of the Steam deck. But I'm just trying to think of why I need to buy it, because it's as much as buying a relatively cheap laptop, you know?
Yeah, I would love to own one, and I'd love to play with one for, you know, 15, 20 minutes. But honestly, what am I going to do it long term? I don't have the time to game on one. Not over a long period of time, right? Did I break Joel?
A game on what?
Steam Deck.
Why wouldn't you?
Well, when do I have time to sit down and play games anymore? I barely even played Borderlands 2 or 3 in the last couple of months, let alone been able to do anything on a handheld.
Man, this is a tough one, because I'm looking at their website, and it looks like they're running Genshin Impact on that, but that's out for Android too, so it's hard to say what they're running. But yeah, I would love to get a Steam Deck. I just don't have the money for one right now.
Even if I had the money, how long would it be before that Steam Deck was collecting dust? I assume not long.
Unless one of your kids plays it.
Unless one of my kids plays it.
There you go. See, when you're on those 15-hour calls, you'd be sitting there playing your games on the Steam Deck.
Yeah, I guess I could try that next time. I'll see how well it works with, like, the PSP Go or the PSP.
This impresses me. I like it. I don't know, Joel. You're right. I don't know if I would pull the trigger, though. The Jive was so awesome, and it's
hard just, for something to match up to it.
Yeah, and I don't want to go through that again.
I don't know. I think the, like, something like the OneMix what, the One Mix 3 would be pretty good to have. See if I can find it. One Mix 3. The S Yoga.
Oh, God, I hate their website. Like, why can't they just give me the simple information I want?
You don't deserve it.
Thank you, Spectrum.
Yeah, I was wondering where you went. I was trying to have a conversation with you about the Steam Deck, and you're just like, nope, I don't like Joe. I ain't talking to you.
No, it's happened the last couple nights in a row where all of a sudden my Wi-Fi just goes... Oh. It's still up. I can connect to it, but it says no internet access. I'm like, okay. Second or two later, it's back on.
I'm looking at the One Netbook One Mix 3 Pro Yoga with a 10th gen CPU, Core i5, 10th gen, 4 cores, 8 threads, Windows 10 Home, 512 gig of storage, 16 gig of RAM. Now, I think the only thing that my what the little device that our little laptop that I have is missing is the ability to turn into a tablet. 1GX.
Right.
It's the same company, I think, that makes them.
Now, what? Ironically, like I gotta think, my Surface Pro 6 is trying to think whether it's 2018 or 2017 when that came out, but it's still working great. I mean, I have no complaints about it. Still running Windows 11 on it. Maybe later on down the road, maybe if I can get I think I'm going to wait and see tablet-wise on what Google does with the Pixel tablet, which is supposed to be, what, either next year? I hope not the year after that. But I would just love for somebody worth their salt, other than Samsung, to make a decent Android tablet.
That's really a tough one.
It is a tough one.
Nobody nice makes anything even remotely decent anymore except for Samsung.
Yep. On the Android side of things, correct. That's why I bought an iPad.
Oh, you know what? Okay, so here we go. FidoS is a spin of Chromium OS.
Oh, okay. So I'm even less interested. Okay.
So it has a Linux subsystem in there.
Yeah.
It looks pretty decent. I will say that. But
we should be able to make it run Linux then.
Oh yeah. So you can. There's Linux underneath it there. It's got Linux in there. I'm assuming it's Ubuntu because I believe that's what Chromium is using, or is it Debian? I think it's Ubuntu, isn't it? But anyway, it's got the Linux subsystem in there, so you can run that. That's in their FAQ. So it is. It's a spin of Chromium.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I'm wondering how much it's going to run.
Right.
So if you go to FideOS's website, FideOS, FYDE.
Is it a Chinese company?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes, it is. It is. So their website at FideOS is FideOS.io. Will take you to their site. They have an interesting layout on their page. It's almost like you're looking at
a piece of paper.
You're looking at like a Linux desktop, yeah, almost, where you have windows that are open so you can click on the windows and view different details, or you can close the window and there's other things underneath it. You can move them around. So I don't know how you get back to the links. Like, if the Fide OS Enterprise, if I close that, I don't know where that goes. I guess if I refresh the page, it'll come back at the top. Yeah. It's like either little opened applications that you can move around the screen and then close or click on to go into them. I'll give them points for originality. It's interesting. Usability, I'm not so sure. Kind of annoying. Anyway.
Yeah. You don't know. You see, my thing is, I don't want to spend like $300 or $400 on something and have it become a paperweight like our child did.
I know.
You know? Man. And if I'm spending that much money, I'd rather buy something like I have a 2017 iPad, and then my iPad Air 4 I bought back in when we were living at the apartment, and which is 2 years ago now. And that. Both of them. In fact, I have the latest iPad OS 16 on the 2017 version. It's up here in my office. And I have the latest iPad OS 15. This 16 hasn't come out yet. And both of those devices, including one that's 5 years old, is running the latest OS for, you know, for the platform, and that's not going to happen on a lot of these Android tablets unless you're from Samsung or Google. So yeah, I mean, you know, so this is, well, it's really, really tempting. If it was priced cheaper, I might, you know, then $300 or $400, we don't have a price yet, but if it ends up being priced cheaper than that, then I would probably try it and temper my expectations, and then, you know, and if that was fine, then maybe look at the next version when it came out to upgrade to. But when I can spend the same amount of money and get a brand new iPad Air, yeah, I don't know about that.
Although, what I will say though is, given that they say you can run Chromium OS, it's open source OS, or you can install other versions of Linux or Android on there, it gives me hope that it wouldn't just become a paperweight. That at the very least, if you don't want Fide OS, you can install other versions of Linux or Chrome OS or whatever.
I'd rather have on something like that, I'd rather have like a full Linux distro. I think Ubuntu would work great on it, because, or even something like Pop OS, which is essentially Ubuntu, because they have, you know, the things we wanted back when we were in a hardcore group of guys going to Ohio Linux Fest all the time. We always wanted a tablet, but Linux really never had a great on-screen keyboard experience. Well, it's not the case anymore. Like, this laptop I'm using now has a touchscreen, and if I tap in a field, like on a website or something, it up pops the touch keyboard. So that is a huge improvement. And it looks very much like an Android keyboard, just bigger. So Linux would be better for me, because at least then I can run apps. Like, I can run Mumble, I can run full Chrome, you know, not the mobile version of Chrome, and be able to do things with Git and whatnot on it as well. So
it looks really neat. That's all I gotta say.
Yep. What was it called again?
FYDE Duo.
Yep. FYDE Duo.
I put it in the Mumble chat. It's FYDE Tab Duo. FYDE FYDE Tab Duo. .com.
If you had the main FYDE OS site, there's a Duo button on the interface. You can click that, and it takes you right to the tablet site.
Good luck recognizing that, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I just lucked out. I said, what's this button that says Duo? Oh, okay.
So another thing that kind of gives me, like, I don't know, caution or concern, is that because it is an open source spin and not an official Google license or Android license spin, the Play Store, you probably are not going to be able to get on there. So you're going to have to jump through right. some other hoops to get any kind of Android applications that you want in there. They talk about, like, oh, you could sideload applications and stuff like that. But you can install other stores, but you probably won't be able to get the Google Play Store. Which, I don't know, then that becomes your mileage may vary on if there's certain applications that you want to get on there. Will they get on? Are you going to be able to do it? Like, I'm curious whether you could get the Kindle application on there and read Kindle books.
Speaking of that,
Excalibur on there.
They released some new hardware this week. Amazon did.
Like a new Kindle reader?
And something called Kindle Scribe, which is very much like that Pine Note thing. For $339, the Kindle Scribe, 16 gigabytes for Kindle, first Kindle for reading and writing.
Wait, what was the application you were just saying there, Joe?
Excalibur.
Yeah, that's a reader, yeah.
How easy is that to get, like, a Kindle book in there?
As far as I know, if you have the book, like the EPUB, it'll just read it.
In an EPUB, yeah.
But it's a Mobi. Kindle books and Mobi.
I think it'll just read Mobi as well.
Well, isn't there something like some? How do you crack the protection on that? That's the big thing, right? I forget how you do that.
It's been a little while since I used a Kindle, but you used to just be able to, like, download it to a reader, pull it into your computer with a cable, and just read it. Also, you used to be able to download books directly to your computer from Amazon purchases.
This is probably.
I don't know if you still can, though.
Yeah. I just put the link there for the new Kindle Scribe. This is probably about the only thing they released that I'm semi interested in.
Let's see if I can still pull down one of my books.
How's that application spelled?
Calibre.
C-A-L-I-B-E-R.
It's spelled Calibre.
Isn't that for converting between different formats? Also,
you can convert between different formats using it, but it's also really good for reading books.
Right.
Is that on your phone? You have Calibre on your phone?
No, on my Linux desktop.
So I'm trying. I know I've used Calibre before.
It won't let me download. You do not have any compatible device registered for this content. Buy a Kindle or get the free Kindle reading app.
Yeah, there was a way to break into that, but like we start talking online about like would I buy this Amazon the Kindle Scribe or not? I'm not so sure. So I do have quite a few books in my Kindle library.
How much is it?
The Scribe is $3.39. And it comes with the stylus.
I think I'll stick with my phone.
Yeah. Kind of where I was at, too. My phone and my iPad both. You know, I'm not the kind of person. I mean, I will say this. It is nice. Like, say, if you're going on a longer trip or you know you're going to be away from the wall for quite a while, a Kindle's great. You know, because you can probably, like, if you're taking a weekend trip, charge the Kindle up before you leave, you're fine for the whole weekend with plenty of reading. But, you know, for me, the regular LCD on an iPad doesn't bother me at all, neither does my phone. So, you know, I've had a grand total of two Kindles. I had the Kindle 2, which is the one that had the buttons on the bottom, and then a touch, and that's it. The only true Kindle. Well, okay, you got. I guess I got to count my Fire tablet that I got as well, which that I didn't pay anything for. I got that as free through a work program, but speaking of work, October 7th, I should be eligible to order a new laptop, and I'm going to go with the new MacBook Pro, which in our company's case, those will be the M1 Pro-based MacBooks, so no stupid touch bar, and no Windows, so... Not to mention, in fact, one of our head DevOps guys, that's what he uses. And setting up, he had instructions for setting up some of the Docker development stuff on a Windows machine, but most of those hadn't been tested because he doesn't use Windows. So I'm going to go with the same thing all of our other engineers are going with. Although I'll have to double check and see if my at one point it had a Windows VM that we ran in VirtualBox. This is way back when I was in professional services when I even needed it. The one thing we were talking about doing with that is we'd run a snapshot before we connect to a client site, and then we would fire up the VM and then throw in whatever stupid VPN software we had to get used to get to their servers. Well, since I'm always working in the cloud now and I'm always using one of the two supported corporate VPNs, I have no need for it anymore. So, you know, but not to mention the fact that I can also lock into servers via the AWS console if push came to shove. But so I don't think I need that VM anymore. So I'll have to make sure I back up things and stuff like that. I'm probably also gonna drop some good money on a new backpack for carrying the laptops and stuff in. I'm going to go with the – going to sound pricey because it is a brain bag from Tom Benn.
Why not look at that bag that Linus Tech Tip sells?
Just get a burlap sack and throw your shit in there. Garbage bag. I see the homeless guys doing it all the time down here.
Yeah, if it works, it works.
I do want to get one of those, motorized screwdrivers, the ones that are about as thin as a pen.
I thought you were going to say a screwdriver. Yeah.
I do want one of those.
How much is that bag you were talking about?
$100.
I'm bringing it. I'm bringing it up. It's over 100, I'll tell you that much.
Damn! That bag better pack itself.
Right?
It can hold up to 2 laptops.
Whoa, slow down. 2 laptops, man. That's like...
The brain bag, the base price is $225.
Okay. I'm going to LTTstore.com, and I'm going to check and see... Oh, their backpack is $250.
Yeah, I was going to say. I'd rather spend... I don't know where
their ratcheting screwdriver is $70.
Yeah, I don't want that. I already have something similar. But this one, the only thing you do have to add on a what they call a cache, which is basically a padded sleeve for your laptop, right? And the way they design this is it has clips on that cache, and there's these rails of sort in the backpack, and you clip those onto that rail, which is essentially basically just a couple fabric strips is what it is. And that way you can pull the laptop out. But I have several of, and this is back in my Gear Diary days. I reviewed, like a long time ago, I reviewed some other travel bags. Like I got an Aeronaut 45. I've got a Synapse, both the small one and the larger one, which is 30 and I think 19 or 22. I can't remember which one. And then I have a Western Flyer and have a TriStar. And some of those are getting close to 20 years old, and they still look brand new. That's why I'm going to spend this kind of money on a bag. Because the Victorinox I usually use, it don't look new anymore. And I spent maybe $50 on that at Sam's Club. What's special about the LTT one?
Oh, from what I understand, it's made for comfort. For like walking around, you know, cons and stuff. And it's got 3 sleeves. 2 for laptops, 1 for a really large laptop, 1 for a slightly smaller laptop, and 1 for a tablet. Here, let me drop this link because there's just way too much to go over. It does look really cool, but I don't know if any backpack looks $250 cool.
That.
It's like got triple stitching or some crazy stuff. Pocket for a screwdriver. The LTT screwdriver.
Yeah,
side pocket
for
cable management, carabiner hooks to keep it closed.
I'll give him one thing. At least he went with a bright color for the interior.
Yeah.
Which that helps when you're trying to find shit. But to me, like the only color they have is black. Yeah, I like the fact because the one I'm looking at on the brain bag side is, it depends. If they have the aubergine color, then that's the one I want. With aubergine is purple. If they don't, then there's a green color they have that I actually probably would go instead. But something other than black or gray.
You know, I'll just stick with my Swiss Army backpack.
Oh, yeah, well, you know.
It works fine. I think I got it for, like, $5 or $10.
And I'm not saying they don't, because, you know, my Victorinox one is, you know, same thing. It's fairly old. It doesn't look bad. You know, it's just I want something with more space. And the other color I was looking at is called Wilderness. So, not to mention the fact that Tom Bin bags, they're made in the United States. They're made in Seattle. So they're completely sewn here. Not in China. Yeah, so especially this one, this design's been out for a while. I've been wanting this one for a long time. And they just were bought by like a holding company. And the guy, Tom, who really is his name, Tom Bin, he's stepping back from day-to-day operations, you know, into a retirement as is his former CEO. So before they go too far down the crapper, I would like to get one. But at least this one would last. I mean, I don't think I'd need another one. That's the kind of nice thing is if, say, I switch up laptops or something, I can just go order another sleeve, swap the sleeve out, and I'm good to go, you know, or cash or whatever they call them. And at one point, they actually had some neat accessories. They had like both a red and a white light that you could clip to the sternum strap, or the white light was also some of the bags they had a strap in on the interior that you can turn the light on while you're looking for stuff inside, which is kind of nice. But I don't think they have those accessories anymore, though. But they have had a lot of neat ideas too. So they have a whole bunch of different bags, including travel bags. So if you want to buy a bag to go traveling with, it's made here in America. That's where I go. So, Pixel Watch is out soon. I think it's going to be right around 3:39 or somewhere around there.
That's too much money for me.
Well, hey, if you look and see how expensive some of the garment stuff is, it's really expensive compared to this. Yeah, the Google Watch, since Google now owns Fitbit, has Fitbit's software built into it. I get what you're saying. And the Pixel 7 Pro and 7 are coming out very soon now, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. The new device march keeps happening. And I don't know these people. I can't buy one every year like some of these people can. So when are you going to get an S22, Joe?
When they free?
When they free. I get you.
No, my wife is extremely interested in the, Z Fold 3?
Well, the Fold 4 is coming out. But
the Fold 4 is out.
Yeah.
But
the 3 might be reduced in price.
Yeah, it's not really. There's a $200 difference between the 3 and the 4. So
shit, I go with the 4.
Yeah, it's not really saving you any money to go with
yeah.
the the 4 instead of the 3. And, you know, I don't mind buying a used one. I could buy a used one. But the problem is if they're that new, then there's every possibility that whoever's selling it hasn't finished paying off whoever, whatever company they were buying it from, which means that a month after I get it, it could be locked.
Right. Yep. Not to mention the fact, a used folding one is kind of crazy. Because they're not exactly known for their durability yet. I did see, I think it was last week, that somebody, they never released it, but LG had a rollable one. That looked really cool. Basically,
it looks cool. I vaguely remember that from like 1 year at CES or something.
Right. Yeah, so you can press a button and instead of folding, of course, it would just expand the screen. And it looked like it was a way that they could avoid the crease in the screen. But yeah, we'll see. Maybe somebody might either buy the design off of LG or just steal it.
Yeah, I don't see the point in a rollable phone. It's a cool concept, but what's the point?
No crease. That's the point.
No crease.
Right.
It rolls up and you put it in your pocket. How do you quickly take it out and put it up to your head to talk to somebody?
Now, and there's the other thing that I wasn't so sure about with that one. Because I think, while it did do the expand thing, the back side of your phone had screen too, the way it was designed. So what would happen is that part in the back would become part of the front screen once it rolled itself out. So, but you know, it's an interesting thing, and I like the idea of foldables. I just don't think they're there yet for me to be willing to spend that kind of cash on them. Because they're definitely $1,500 phone or more, depending on how much storage you got. Because I've seen they're trying to do the same thing with laptops. I think Lenovo's got one like that, too.
Hmm.
And I think the one difference with the Lenovo one was that it actually had a physical keyboard that would just go over the bottom part of the screen.
Yeah, I've heard good things, I've heard bad things.
Same. So, anywho. Well, that's enough of our rambling along. It's after 10 o'clock. It's late. And we need to go now. Right, Dan?
So...
Yep.
Hold on. This is a pain in the ass. Oh. So. If. So I'm trying to. I'm trying to find... Oh, look at that. I need to get my serial number from a Kindle device I had in order to unlock anything. You know what I'm saying? Hello?
Yes.
Yes, I know what you're saying.
So I'm trying to see if this will work, because that's the only way I can get this into Calibre, is because they're DRM protected. So I have my serial number from my old Kindle.
I know it's it looks like it's spelled Calibre. It's actually pronounced Caliber.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Oh. So wait a minute. I was just looking at this. Oh my goodness. So now I got to go back into the plugin that I downloaded. I haven't used Caliber in such a long time. So where is... Oh, now I got to find the plugin.
Honestly, it's been a while since I used it too, but I haven't sat down with the ebook in a long time either.
All right, so DEDRM.
Unless it was on my phone.
Okay. All right, so there's a DEDRM plugin. Oh, no, I want to enable it. I want to customize it. Configurations. Kindle for Android ebook. Wait a second. Huh. All right, so now I got to customize the damn plugin. Select e-ink Kindle books, serial number. Okay. Okay. All right. So now, I guess, where the hell is this? So now I got to install the KFX input plugin. What is that, Joe? Joe, you didn't tell me I'd have to go through all this crap.
Well, did you think it was going to be easy?
All right, let's see. KFX input. Okay. Now I got to restart Caliber. All right. So is this going to be it? Add your book. Okay, add it. Remove.
So now Caliber is pretending to be your Kindle device. I'm asking.
I just want to read the fucking book.
Well, you can use their online viewer.
Yeah, I can. I wish there was... So then I have to... Like, why? Launch Kindle for PC and download your book. Well, I have it. Configure Kindle application and locate book file. Next... No, I don't need the import. Okay, so I had the book in Caliber. Well, wait a minute. That doesn't mean... They say, okay, so now that you have all these things... So it says, okay, launch Kindle, download your book. I got that. Configure Kindle application and locate the book file. All right, import your book into Caliber. Maybe I need to remove the book and re-import it. Is that what I'd have to do?
No clue.
I guess I better play this out instead of me fucking around. Yeah, I'm going to remove the book. Okay. Maybe I just didn't... I didn't do something right. Ah, that's a pain in the butt. All right. So, add book. Ah, I'm gonna have to figure this out later. All right, let's play us out. Just me doing that. I know I've ran into these problems before with this, and it's a pain in the butt. Any last words, Joel?
Words.
All right. Let's play us out. Which promos do we have here? Because I don't want to play the promos that I screwed up last time. I played the wrong thing. Remember that?
Sure.
All right, here we go. Thanks a lot. We'll see you in a week. Here we go. Bye-bye.
I am short.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, and that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called LibreQuest and talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
Can we talk about multiprocessing?
Can we talk about bandwidth clusters?
Can we talk about Web 2.0?
Just talk geek to me.
Just talk geek to me.
Hey, it's Deep Geek. Please come check out my podcast for my take on all things geeky. You can find us at www.talkgeektome.us. That's www.talkgeektome.us.
Thank you. Just talk geek to me.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Mm, yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
That's a gun.
It's over.
You were making it from young in the kitchen. Sushi.
Oh, yeah. See, look at that, Joe. Look at that. You said it couldn't be done.
I did not say it couldn't be done. I said it wasn't going to be simple.
I did. See, here was the problem, right? This is what I did. And I should have paid more attention. I thought maybe that this was the problem, right? So you need to have the DDRM plugin, right? And in that DDRM plugin, you need to put your Kindle's serial number in there, right? So I have a Kindle, but it's broken, and it's been broken for like almost a decade now. But it's still registered in Amazon as one of the devices. So if you go into Amazon and you look at your devices, you can get the serial number for that device. It's listed in there. So I take that serial number and I put it into the DDRM plugin, right? So this is the serial number you use. Then I go to Amazon in the website and the digital content under the under my books, and I download the book to transfer it via USB, and it asks me what device do I want to transfer it to. So I choose that Kindle device, and then it downloads it, the file that I download. Then I can open it up in
DDRM.
Yeah, yep.
And you can probably also convert it to something without the DRM.
Yes, I probably could.
Like a movie.
So, at this point, if I wanted to, can I convert it?
Sure.
Let's see.
File save.
Input format, output format, Mobi. Yeah, I'll do Mobi or EPUB. Let's do EPUB and click OK. And is it doing anything? Who knows? I guess we'll find out.
It used to be, it had a little indicator in the bottom right showing progress.
I don't know what it... Let's see if it's still running. I mean, it's running. It almost looks like it froze up. I don't know if I...
Interesting.
Oh! I hate... You know, I got this desk with this keyboard tray underneath. And I never get my fingers on the keys properly. I don't know. Is it running? Oh. Oh, crap. Ugh. It finally came up and I clicked the wrong thing. Oh, there's the job. It's running. Now I see the job is running.
There you go.
What did it do?
Oh.
Where did it go?
Got me.
How should I know?
Yeah, that's what I say. Like, where did it freaking go? Oh, you know what this is going to be? What is it?
Documents. Library. Somewhere in your home directory.
It doesn't help. I have two files now, two EPUB files.
There you go.
A to ZW and the EPUB file is in there. So why is it only showing once?
It's only going to show once in your library.
Yeah, it's
the same book.
You can try deleting the other one and then see if you can read it. Or moving it out of the directory. Should be able to pick the version. Yeah.
How can I see...
Or go That's find the file and double click the done. File.
Yeah. Oh, here we go. I found the EPUB one.
Yeah, you can just open it up with Calibre.
I wonder how well
or
it did.
Or Calibre.
Oh wow, it did a pretty good job.
Oh. I think I've done that a while ago, but like I said, I just usually just fire up the app on my phone and download it right there.
Yeah, no, I hear what you're saying. Although, you know, if I had that device, I would definitely use Calibre because I really do like Calibre. I remember using it in the past.
Yep.
Now I'm going to become a Mobi pirate, an Amazon pirate. I'm going to sell them. Now the downside is
torture wares.
I first tried to do this on my Fedora system and it was taking too long, so I installed it on my Arch system. Fedora has like version 4.5 of Calibre, and Arch has 6, and the plugin only works on 5.0 or higher. At least the version I got. Anyway, I'm going to stop the recording. Oh my goodness, it's almost 10:30.
Here, I thought you already did.
What's that?
My wife? She went inside just a minute ago.
Joel!
I don't know. Maybe he had better shit to do. Maybe he decided he don't like us no more.
I can understand that. It's just not like him to not send an email telling us in detail.
Hey, it's Della Vinny, get bad. Go to Richard D and then.
Yep. All right, let's see here. Oh, this is episode 973. I gotta upload these more recent ones to archive.org. How's the school year going for you?
For who?
You.
Your family. Well, JoJo's doing all right. The online school stuff. He's passing all his classes. Kai and Tala are doing okay in college from, you know, what they tell me.
Wait, who's doing okay in college?
Kai and Tala.
Oh.
My two daughters.
Is Tala the older one, right?
No, Tala's my middle one.
Oh, Kai is. Why did I think Tala was the older one? How many? What is Kai in? What year?
Technically, even though she's, you know, been in for like 2 years, I think she'd still be in her first year. She doesn't have enough credits to be considered a sophomore.
Ah. What's she looking at studying?
Right now she's studying American Sign Language. She hasn't really picked what she wants to do, so we picked something for her until she figures out what she wants to do.
And what's Tala studying?
American Sign Language.
Wow.
They both took a lot of sign language in high school, and if nothing else, if they get their certification for American Sign Language, that's an easy job. It's easy to get a job as an interpreter.
Ooh. I think a cat just took a shit in the litter box.
Isn't that the worst? That
sucks. Well, it's better. You know what?
It's better in the litter box than not.
Yeah, I'll be thankful that it's in the litter box.
That's
true. I'll deal with it. I'll deal with it that way. That's fine.
Smelly.
How's your little cat doing there, Joel?
He's very much. He's a year old, but he's still very, very kitten-like. But he's been hanging out with me, like, wife and son this afternoon went over to go be with her dad. And cat came up here and was zooming around my office, and taking naps, and basically hung out up here with me whole day. And then I got off to work, I got down on the floor right next to him, and he was just wanting to play. Gotta be careful, because he's in that bitey, kitteny kind of play, and he's got big teeth. But, yeah, he's a character. Like, the other day, not exactly sure what went on, what was going on, but he started spinning circles in the living room for whatever reason. Chasing his tail. But yeah, he's a good kitty. Let me tell you though, his shit smells. Oh my god. Oh, and he don't cover his up either. But at least we got the new litter box for him that has like a top on it, so that when he gets to kicking to cover his pees and stuff up, he doesn't kick the litter out of the box. So that's good. And he about ate my wife's Taco Bell tonight. Because Taco Bell got here before the wife did. I saw that they had the Mexican pizzas back, and I had to get one. I was never a huge Mexican pizza fan, but
man, I'll tell you what, I've had this recruiter emailing me for like the past 2 months. about this DevOps engineer position. AWS DevOps engineer position.
Which you don't know yet.
The subject line says, remote senior AWS DevOps engineer position up to $180,000 a year.
Nice.
For a leading educational software firm out of Pittsburgh. I guess it's out of Pittsburgh because they've been named a Pittsburgh top workplace for 4 years in a row. And I guess
as long as you can do remote.
And this is the last one he said. He said, I sent you a few messages and I'm sure you're busy. Second last one. And are you open to any new roles or are you happy at SI? And I'm like, SI? What the hell is SI? Wow. And I'm like, what is SI? I've never worked at a place called SI, so I don't know where he's getting his information from. I don't even know where he got my name from.
Dice.
Dice?
Where they all find mine.
Maybe they some of the companies
and sold still,
the list, the employee list.
The only places they call me for is either Irving, Texas or Tampa, Florida. Neither of which do I want to go to.
Well, good thing you're not in Tampa right now.
That's true.
Yeah, fortunately, most of the people I know are on the other side of Florida, so they're going to get rained on big time. But
oh, but, you know, when it's wintertime, we're freezing up here. Just saying.
Now it's that time of year that my wife and I start fighting each other over the thermostat. She turns on the freaking furnace.
Has it been that cold by you?
It's in the 40s at night.
Yeah, we had 49 the other morning, but it's not that bad.
I looked at her and told her, put a sweater on. Because my office gets to be roasting when she turns on. She turns the heat up to like 71 or 72. I'm like, that's higher than we have it at all during the summer.
Oh man, I'm gonna have to go clean out the kitty litter because this really stinks. this really bad.
Like if I lean back, it gets worse because I start getting closer to it. I'm like, oh my goodness.
Mm-hmm. So I had to lean forward the whole show. All right. Oh man, what did I say the show was? Is it 973? Yeah, 973.
For the last show ever in September of 2022.
Until next September.
Yeah, so, yeah, this is it's the 28th today, right? Yes.
Yeah.
All right. 973. Give us a count around, Joel.